Good morning, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak with the Public Service Commission. We are back on live from the Capitol, 12th floor, for the admin portion of the regularly scheduled commission meeting. I call this meeting to order. Okay, we have a couple items on consent. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion's approved.
Thank you, Lana. We have three items for discussion, at least on the agenda. There might be others that my colleagues have, but Victor, you're number one, damage prevention unpaid penalties collection.
Okay.
Can you report back to us?
Yes. So four different collection agencies available to the state or available to us via state OMB procurement. Two of them came back and said, this isn't really worth either of our time. Very low likelihood of collection. I was just about to give up, and I reached out to one last one to get their kind of take. I was expecting them to confirm the same, and they had a much more positive attitude. They said, you know what, some of these accounts that look just terrible, we are able to collect all of it. And sometimes the ones that look easy don't really work out. So they were at least willing to give it a try to kind of get their foot in the door with us. It is a company. It's Harvard Collection Services. They actually do some work for the tax department.
Did you say do some work for
they
tax?
Do. Just recently they signed a contract with the tax department. They're looking to kind of become our in full state solution for collection services. They do just about all of the work for the state of Illinois. They were.
It makes me nervous. Illinois politics, collections, okay.
I tell you.
No, I'm just
guys, kidding. You got to watch them. So they were very eager to get our business.
So that's all we need then, right?
Well, basically what we would have to do is sign an addendum to the contract that the state has with them, just outlining which items we want them to take action on our behalf for.
Okay.
And, you know, kind of per my memo, I identified the 14 northern excavating cases, and there's one other random case, and maybe we just want to close this one. It's Shores Companies. It was from 2012. I'm not sure if there's a statute of limitations, if that's even worth.
Was that the one where the guy moved out of the state?
I think so. I know it's not a North Dakota company.
Yeah. So you put your recommendation forward, and we can go that way. I don't know that we should make a decision here like that unless.
Well, you have to. What do we need from a process standpoint? A memo? Do we need to pass this from the commission? Can Daryl approve this?
There would be a motion. I think your other contracts are all. You do motions when you contract for other things.
Okay.
There will be a motion when you sign the contract. So between now and then, we can. I had told Victor that there is a history to Shores, but I did not have time last week to look it up because I worked on it. I just don't remember the details. So
where we were at before was we were going to prepare the memo saying we'd done all this work and you recommending to close it, and it made sense. We just never did that.
Right.
So I think we should do that.
Sure. And can we make the contract, is it for specific cases, or can it be open-ended so we can keep adding to it, or do we need to recontract with them every time? You know, so say they work on these cases, they collect what they can, and we close the rest. Do we have to do it?
I thought we
like
talked
this?
Last session. We wanted to try this out first to see how it worked before we turn them loose.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that would be my thought, is to make this specific to these cases, and then just kind of depending on what their success is and what our feelings is are on the company.
But if it works and it turns out a positive experience, I like your idea to just open it up down the road.
Yep.
All right.
And I think they would certainly be open to that as well. I do know there were some questions last time about, you know, the conduct of the company and settle, you know, if they're able to settle. Those kind of things are all laid out in the general RFQ that the state sent out for this kind of stuff. So they must get our approval if they would settle for any amount less. They can take smaller payments, but they can't say, you know, you owe us $10,000, we'll take $5,000 and call it done. They can't do that without our approval. Conduct there, that's kind of laid out pretty well. They must work with people in a courteous and respectful manner. And it kind of goes on and on, but basically they kind of make sure that these companies are acting in a way so as not to damage the state reputation by using illegal or just unfavorable collection tactics.
Okay. I'm comfortable with that approach, so we can have that on our next agenda.
Yep. I can have a – we'll have the – Jack and I have been working on the addendum just to kind of make sure we have it written up correctly, and we'll have that ready and then a motion to execute it on the next agenda.
Very good. Thanks for your work on that, Jack, Vic.
Did you say it's the one big case that had multiple cases and then the Shores, or did you just say that there's a bunch of other ones too? That
No. So this is the – so we had – initially, we had 14 northern excavating cases. I think 13 of those 14 we issued penalties on. So it would be those 13 plus one case for Shores. So a total of 14 cases.
Okay, I thought the way it said it, maybe there was a bunch of other cases.
Wait a minute. Now I'm confused because I thought we were going to dismiss the Shores case.
We certainly can.
That's what
And that's, I guess, you okay, know, maybe what I'll do. So I'm not 100%. Certain on the Shores one. So Alana and I can discuss and decide what we think is best.
The Shores we should have dismissed 2 years ago. We just never got it paperwork done. So I don't want, personally, the Shores to be part of this. I'd like it to be all northern excavating and see what we do with that one. The Shores one, I think that's ship sailed when they moved to state, and we've just never closed the loop on it. Good question, Randy.
And that's completely fine with me if that's...
But I'm just speaking for me. I thought that's what...
I don't know anything about the Shores. We weren't here.
We weren't even here. It was... A long time ago.
It's a company out of, I forget what state, but it's not this state. It's a couple of states away. They are closed up. I couldn't find them existing even in that state anymore. So,
are these the only unpaid?
Yes.
Well, okay. Well, I think that you've got enough to go on.
Yep.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Vic.
Madam Chair, if we could, I'd just soon drop number B2 to end, let Jim do his first because I think B2 might take us some time.
B2?
Yeah.
Okay, so hold that. Yeah, all right, Jim. So Jim.
We have Jim back to work. We need him upstairs.
Okay. As you know, we have, we're authorized two seasonal construction inspectors for AML. This year we only have one. So we do have another spot. We do have plenty of money, and this is for AML work, which is 100% federal, plus we collect the indirects on this. Matt came to me and saying that Mark Siemens, who had worked for the commission as the internship doing work for PUD, that he's available and would be willing to do scanning of AML photos and other documents that we have, something that may take, 100, 150 hours, something like this, at an hourly rate that's pretty reasonable. I think he was otherwise being paid $16 an hour. I guess what I'd like to do is get the commission go ahead to make Mark an offer to do this work and hopefully get that done here over the next 6 weeks or so.
I think that's a great idea. He's been a good worker, and he knows how we operate and our equipment and all that, so I think that's great.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do that then. If it's okay with the commission, we'll probably have him start as soon as possible, which could be as soon as tomorrow, but then have a motion on the next commission meeting just to acknowledge that, if that's acceptable.
Sure, that's a good plan.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Is that okay to have them start before the motion, or do we need to have some kind of a call-in meeting or something like that to do it?
I think you're giving your approval here.
Okay.
We make offers to people and
okay.
All the time before the motion gets on the agenda.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Jim. Okay, back up to damage prevention, one call concepts. Oh, this thing again.
If I could, Madam Chair, I asked Vic to put it in the agenda because we three of us need to talk about it again. And then Vic asked Ryan and Mark. They said, you're certainly welcome to come. I don't want this to turn into a work session on one call, but we still haven't figured out. Well, I shouldn't say that. We had some initial guidance that we said we can't process all these cases for $5 fines and $10 fines. It just doesn't work that way. So we sent a letter back, paraphrasing the letter, saying basically, listen, we're not your collection agency, so you guys take care of this. And then they talked with their board, pushed back a little bit, saying, hey, listen, it's not about collection. It's that the law says they're supposed to pay, so you need to enforce the law. And then that's kind of where we're at. And I told Vic, I said, I'm still haven't moved that, yes, I understand that the law says you're supposed to pay this, and they haven't paid, but there's not the resources available to hold hearings for these. But the groups, and they, if you want, they can speak today. I don't, like I said, I don't want this to turn into a work session, but maybe we should schedule one. But it could.
I'd be happy to have them. If you guys have any thoughts you want to share, I have some thoughts, but I'd be happy to hold those.
I'm fine with talking about this whatever time we need, but I just could.
Let's go ahead and do it rather than schedule something, okay, if that's all right with you, Randy.
Fine.
It's only 11:15, and we don't have a lot on scheduling either, so.
First off, did I paraphrase? Did I say what I thought I said to what you folks say? Agree? Not that you agree with my comments, just agree with my understanding of the facts.
Well, and I'm not here to make this long or anything, and you did state it correctly, yes. We're not worried about you collecting.
Okay, you say your name, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Mark Doherty. I'm with the Associated General Contractors of North Dakota and also on the North Dakota One Call Board representing excavators. But as we have said before in our board meetings and whatever, it's not collections we're looking for. Those things are kind of being done as much as we can do. It's more the law. And I guess to quote you this morning on the Adelman case, the law is the law. And some of these people are not following that law. And I would hate to see this open a floodgate of everybody just ignoring it, because there's a lot of states.
Let me push back right away on that, Mark. That's my comment, and I believe that. But there's some level. These were $1,600 fines. They were violations of lots of dollars. And so there's some de minimis level, and you're saying it's zero?
Well, and no, I'm not. And we haven't put any other cases in to see where it goes. Like I said, we're not. It's up to you guys how you want to handle this. If you can't physically or monetarily, with the funding you have, handle these, we understand that. Our concern is that when we ignore this part of the law, what else gets ignored?
So the problem is
a penalty
side. Not paying. The people aren't paying for their when one call bills them to get the calls out to go mark their system, those people aren't paying.
The excavators, not the operators.
Yeah.
The excavators pay on a per-ticket basis.
Okay.
So unless you are a homeowner or landowner in North Dakota, when you file a locate request, you're charged on a per-ticket basis.
And that's Ryan Schmaltz.
Ryan Schmaltz.
And if we – so if the excavator calls one call and they haven't paid, why can't one call say, sorry, you don't get a ticket?
I guess we've discussed that we can't – we see that as a safety issue. We can't not process a locate request. Not let those utilities know that there might be somebody excavating around their underground facility.
Then they're going to be breaking the law if they go and excavate. And then they get a $1,600 fine or a $3,000 fine. My point is this isn't the only option, is just ignore them, let them continue doing their business as they want, and just like having no repercussions. I'm like, well, fine, I guess I don't have to pay because I keep getting tickets. So did the One Call Board explore that at all?
This is Mark again. I don't think that we have that option in under the law. The call center is set up to take those calls. They don't have the discretion of refusing calls, and that's pretty much what it is in all states.
Is that optional under the law to refuse to pay?
No. It says they shall participate.
So we're looking at a 10% budget cut, which is several people in this agency. This does not collecting on $100 or $60 or whatever fine, just in the scope of all the things that we have to get done. It's just not going to – we can say we'll do it, but when it gets up on the pile of things to do, and that's – it's going to be down on the pile, in my opinion.
I think we want to stress it's not the monetary value. I mean, there's some that might be $15, $20, but there's some that are a few hundred dollars. I mean, there was the case this morning that was talked about, not the Adelman one, but the previous one. That cut was Mid-Continent, I think, said it was around $350. I mean, that was a low monetary one. Why did that get processed? You know, we have some bills that are outstanding, $300, $400, $500.
Let me give you that one, Ryan. The reason that got processed is, okay, when the complaint gets filed, Victor does his magic, and sometimes there's a consent decree. Those all today got processed because there was a consent decree, meaning that they agreed to it. It never came to us for a hearing. The cost that we endured was staff time. you can't force people to do a consent decree. If that 350 case wouldn't have been a consent decree, it would not come in front of us for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why.
And that, I think,
to answer your question,
yeah.
So the only hearings we've had on this, we've had two, and they came out of Hyde, if you will, and one was for $40,000+ of violations, and the other was because the individual requested it. So that's where if someone signs a consent decree, then there's you can move forward. If they don't, it just doesn't ever get to a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for Jack. Is this part of the law clear? Is this our responsibility to enforce, or are we being asked to enforce it because the state's attorneys don't want to?
This is part of the law. However, it does say that the directly in the penalties, that the commission shall develop policies for the assessment of the penalties under this. So if we decide that we don't want to assess penalties on this, then it's certainly within the discretionary authority, as opposed to like the ministerial authority of the commission to do that. As opposed to the state's attorney's office, I don't think this will be something that they would be actually be also enforcing. I'd have to look more into that.
How can they do that? Okay, if how can the state's attorney say we're not going to enforce something? How do we pick that level?
Well, the state's attorney generally enforce criminal violations, and this is more of a civil penalty that has been given within the commission's discretion.
Is there a basis where we can make a decision that we don't do certain things? That doesn't sound right either.
Oh, it's within the commission's discretion in how to enforce the one-call law. That's within the commission's discretionary authority. I mean, I could write you guys a brief on that if you would like. I'd have to explore it a little more, but that's my belief at this point.
Well, if we held a hearing and determined that they have to pay, then what happens then?
We hold a hearing and determine that they are in violation of non-payment.
Yeah.
With one call, well, then we would hold a hearing. If the commission decides that they should be assessed a penalty, they would have to pay the penalty to us.
But if they don't?
They don't, then we would probably go with Victor's enforcement through a third party.
But you can never make them pay that one call concept for the if we find it goes to general fund, so the money they recoup, that's
What's one call concept doing to try to collect these bills?
We have our billing department out of Maryland that uses any resource available to try and find out or send statements, phone calls. I reach out to you or these different companies, contractors, trying to get them to pay. And some, it's just they either don't call you back, they don't answer, or they say they will and then they don't. So those are the resources we use now.
Can they be charged a higher fee for future locates when they aren't paying?
That, I guess, would have to come from the North Dakota One Call Board, if that's something that they want.
Has the board explored anything like that?
We haven't. I guess I hadn't thought about that avenue of it, but we have a contract with One Call Concept for a certain amount for all these things, and we would have to have a modification in that contract to put that in there.
I mean, it strikes me as
I don't like
there's calls coming and going, and these are people that are actively engaged, most likely, in the system. So if you can engage them while they're in the system rather than try to get an outside party to somehow get their attention, and then you've activated a whole other staff full of people that have to get familiar with what's going on. And, I mean, just it seems like there should be a more natural way to leverage their need to use the system and their access to it as a way to get them to pay.
And I would guess that that's why most of the, other than two states in the country, the excavators don't pay for tickets.
Well, you and I have had that discussion before.
How are they funded?
Well, there's monies out there. They can do it other ways. Well, we've had that discussion that there is monies out there now, and so...
What do you mean money's out there?
Like, well, Mark, where? Walk it through it. I mean, your all budget is not all from those fees.
Ours is, yeah. It really is right now.
So how do those states run their programs without
well, them?
Utilities and operators.
The utilities and operators pay for the function of the one call center. They support it. The excavators don't. Most of the other states, and we went down that road here when one call was put in, that we thought that was a barrier to them using. the call center, make it free. They're going to have no reason not to call. It's free to them. It doesn't cost them anything. And the big thing, some of these, is it's small bills, and everybody hates to pay a little $10 bill. A lot of these cases that I looked at anyway, the ones that I got have in my head, are out-of-state companies that came in here. This all started with the oil run-up. And these out-of-state companies are not used to paying this. They don't pay it at home, and they don't pay it in most of the other states they work with. And so they just didn't pay it here.
I connected those dots till just now.
Didn't pay it here, and they just thought, well, nothing's happening to me. I just won't pay it. And a lot of these people have left, to be honest with you.
Maybe that's something the board should consider talking about with its members, utility members, that this, you know, the PSC doesn't have time to do this and to enforce this, especially when they're, you know, going to be having to cut back on their resources. We need to find another way. Here's the options. We can increase it, not provide the tickets for those who aren't paying, double their prices or something like that, or you guys can fund it like other states do. I mean,
not providing them the service, I don't think, is an option.
No, and I don't think FEMSA would see that as not being very desirable, and then they'd be willing to maybe look at some other options.
Nor will FEMSA look at that favorably.
Right.
I don't think so.
So what is it that you think that we can do if we assess them a penalty and they don't pay it? We still can't suspend their license, I don't believe. So what is it that you think we can do? Because we're not going to get the collection agency to go and pursue the collection for a share of $50.
Well, any more than we can get one to do that.
Right. So what is it that...
We were looking to take this group of them and hopefully maybe we got too big, but penalize them and get that out on the street so that they know there's a penalty to this. It is a part of the law. And in the law, there's a consequence. Now, if we don't do this way, when they flat refuse to do anything with it, then we've made a statement in North Dakota that we don't enforce our laws here.
How many companies are doing this, Mark? Because it's your excavators to put you in the spot that aren't paying. So policing your own, I mean, are we talking 5 companies, 10 companies? I mean, it seems like, you know, the excavators themselves could get pressure on their own people to pay their fair share.
Well, like I say, though, a good chunk of these were out-of-state ones.
Yeah. How many are we talking?
We don't have a lot of weight in those.
The current list is 20 cases that are open right now. I think there were a few other ones that were closed.
Is that 20 companies?
20 individual companies. I don't know, just by looking at them, if any of them are in-state. Most of them, just kind of by the details here, look to be out-of-state companies. The total amount of dollars we're talking is 1,700 unpaid penalties between all 20. Smallest is about $11, and the biggest is $347.
Unpaid penalties or just unpaid bills?
It appears to me the decision point for the three of us is we either say no, and then or we just batch them all together. It's kind of like that's kind of where we're at before, and we kind of said no. And then these guys wanted to talk again, which that makes sense. So
as Randy was saying, and you guys were saying that you want to penalize them and try to do it, take another stab at it, why can't that happen? Why do we have to do that? Why can't you guys penalize them and take another stab at it, the one call board?
And how do we penalize them? We don't have any authority to penalize them.
Just increase the, they haven't paid, so there's a additional cost for not paying?
We can certainly research that, but we're going to have some legal help in researching that because I'm not sure the law would allow us to do that. It doesn't preclude us from doing it.
Can you write administrative rules?
No, we can't.
I don't know.
The fee is not in the law. The fee, it just says in the law that the excavator will pay on a per-ticket basis, which led us here. We kind of used our efforts to try and collect on that, but we thought, well, how do we take a next step? Do we look into a collections agency? But like Mark said, that for some of those minimal amounts, they're not going to take that on. So our next step was, in reading the law, it says in the law that they need to pay on a per-ticket basis.
May I ask a quick couple questions?
Please.
out of those 20, there's no duplicates. You don't have a company that owes for 100 tickets, or do you?
Well, I mean, the dollar amount is going to be based on the number of tickets. So yes. Each ticket is about a dollar something.
$1.10.
So if they're...
Okay, so you never get to big numbers, in other words. I was just wondering.
Well, you could. I mean, if you have 1,000 tickets, it's $1,000.
Well,
but,
do we know if there's anybody at a big number that might be a case worth considering?
There was a couple that jumped out, the bigger numbers.
So here, I'll kind of quote the law. An excavator licensed under this chapter shall participate in and share in the costs of a statewide notification center on a per-call basis. An operator installing the operator's own facilities may not be charged as an excavator.
Well, sometimes it occurs to me, and I don't mean this as a criticism because it's good that we don't get overturned on things, but we put together cases like it's going to be appealed all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we're putting somebody in an electric chair or something.
Because we have a standard of doing things correctly.
Right. And, that's been good. We clearly can't do that with all these cases. Or we have to hire a bunch more help when we're figuring out how we're going to pay for what we're already doing. So can we batch these together, put the one-call concepts, brings us the evidence. Whatever evidence they bring us is what it is. We assess a penalty to it. And if they come in and present something better than what One Call Concepts has presented for evidence, then I guess they're going to prevail. And if they don't show up, which is likely the case, then I guess the evidence they've provided us will win by default. If there's nothing contrary to it. And
then what? They still don't pay.
Well, that's what I've been saying. I don't see that it ever achieves anything.
There's certain constitutional due process requirements that you have to provide to people. You have to give them their constitutional rights, and one of them is not prejudging the case. So the cases are going – they could be streamlined possibly, but they are not going to just not include the standard due process rights. So there will be a lot of work, but it might be worth – one thought I had is it might be worth looking for the one that adds up to the biggest number and see what that number is.
$200 or something.
I didn't know that.
I think you said $347.
So there are four of them over $100. Five of them, sorry.
The other thought that was going through my mind, if you really want to get this at the source, at the neck of the funnel – is perhaps when you're working on legislation, perhaps it should be an adder on the contractor's license fee to fund the program, and then you don't have to pay per ticket. You might have excavators paying, but they're paying before they get their annual license, and they're not getting their annual license if they don't pay whatever the fee happens to be. And it might be a hard hit on year one, and after that it won't be noticed. But it would certainly solve the problem, and I think it's worth looking at this point in the interim. Yeah. And then the third thing I wanted to point out is that there's often criminal violations and civil penalties in these laws, and that state's attorney is mentioned because they would take the criminal violation. They're usually minor, a misdemeanor or something. And state's attorneys are also going to exercise discretion about where to put their resources. They do not take every case that is turned over to them. I think Jack can verify that for me. And the commission also has discretion where to put your resources. You have discretion as far as the parts of the law you were talking about implementing, but you also have discretion in managing your agency and where you put your resources. And there will be work, and it's your decision how much work you want staff and your commission to put into it.
Wasn't there some discussion about Victor and Jack putting it together? There wasn't a date they were supposed to pay it by. So if it got to trying to prove or disprove, it didn't really have a date. And then some was, 30 days is implied. Well, maybe not. Wasn't that some of the...
Yeah, I think initially there wasn't due dates on the invoices, but I think
it's since been added 45 days from...
But that block in front of us, are those dates on there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me throw this out as a hybrid approach. Randy, I don't bought all 20, but maybe we try the top two and see what happens. And if it doesn't go anywhere, then you guys will then... If you could keep continuing what you're doing to do this, but if we try two and it just turns out to be a lot of work that doesn't bear any fruit...
I'm against the commission getting involved in this.
Let me ask this to Julie.
You guys can outvote me.
How can we? No, no. But tell me, how can we
not enforce it? Because we can say we're against it, but then if you say, well, how could you not enforce the law? How do we not?
There's other ways to do it, I think.
But the immediate, I mean, enough. You have discretion. You make people
okay,
in this office.
How do we have discretion where we can tell them in a letter that says, sorry, but we don't feel this is our job?
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
It is our job.
Okay.
But you can't do your whole job. I can't do my whole job. You can't do your whole job. Jack can't do his whole job every day here. No one in this office can do his or her whole job.
Then we should be
job.
Asking for more people.
And one call could ask for a person, Jack and I talked about this, to outsource it, a person just to do this. There are 5 or 10 ways we've talked about to collect this money or get the money from a fee, or you're at the adder fee is probably legal too, but subject to check, you know, that they just bill them twice as much for the next ticket or whatever it is. Right. At least it would build up the amount due to make it worth doing the case. If nothing else, but all of those could be discussed a little bit and should be probably discussed if you've got a legislation out there that's floating around. So, but we make choices every day, not there's too much in this office to do it all.
Well, but then we get told sometimes, like rate cases, we have 7 months to do it. If they don't give us a time to do this, give us that's the discretion you're talking about.
Well, and that's because in the rate case situation, the company has a constitutional right to the rate. And so you can only hold them off for a limited amount of time on that. It's a little bit different picture. But there's certainly some possibilities here, including one trial case to see if it helps. But I personally don't think it's going to help.
So where do we go from here? Let's say
can I just respond to that? So then if we do one and not the others, then haven't we kind of picked on that one? And so we get in trouble for that, too.
Yes.
Right. So I think we're either doing them or we're not.
We can develop a general...
I think that there needs to be a deeper exploration of other options for collecting this money. Alana's laid out a few. I've suggested some. There's pros and cons to all of them. But, you know... I understand, I appreciate the need to make these people realize that they are required by law to do this, that it's the law that they participate. But if this mechanism is not the appropriate one or is too unwieldy from a management and collection standpoint, then we need to figure out another one. We need to figure out a way to get their attention. Just changing who's asking for the money, I don't think is going to do anything, and it's just going to suck up a bunch of time from folks here who don't have it. We don't have it. You guys don't have it. I mean, so it's, I really don't like opening this door to yet another thing that we're taking on when we have some pretty substantial issues in front of us and growing just in the wind development alone.
How about this, Madam Chair? How about I work with Vic and Jack about a memo encapsulating this meeting? And we'll officially send it to those guys so we can have a record of what we've done here today. And then the next meeting that you guys have for one call, why don't you put me on your agenda and I'll represent the views of the commission to the board and we'll see where that goes. But I'd like to put a memo together of this discussion so we have a record that says we're not just not doing these.
Right.
Because that's what we've had a lot of discussion, but we haven't encapsulated it anywhere.
Yep.
So if someone looks at, well, why aren't you doing this? Well, the commission discussed it on this date. Here was the points that we brought up. Here's some avenues we think that they could door. Put it back on those guys, and we'll just continue the discussion. But now I definitely know where the three of us are at, so I can represent the commission at the next one call meeting.
I'm not sure where I'm at, so maybe you want to tell me.
let me tell you. Here's what I heard. I heard that you are not against prosecuting the cases, but it's all or none. I heard that you're open to other ideas. That's what I heard.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I thanks for squaring that up.
Where I am.
But I do think I want to explore more with Alana's answer about the level of evidence we need and stuff. And I don't know, I guess I'm thinking of a little city community night court where the judge isn't even an attorney And there's not all that much evidence there, but there's small amounts, and nobody's going to jail, and so no one contests it, and it all works out. And it seems like there's going to be something that. And the other thing that I should be explored in that process, some other agencies, and I no examples coming up to me, so maybe there are none, but I'm thinking that there's got to be some other things out there where some people have to pay some other. You're not really called an agency, but whatever, an organization like this, and by law, and when they don't, what does some government agency do about it? And maybe there's some examples like that, and
okay.
Maybe there's not, but it seems like it's just.
When's the next meeting so I can put it down in?
August 10th.
Okay.
I believe.
I'll put it on. Julie tells me our time is done.
Okay. And I'm good with that, and I think the board could be too. Like I said, this happened with the ramp up in the oil field with all these out-of-state companies, and largely they are that. A lot of them have gone home, and some of them have gone away totally. So what I'll do in the interim here is also for this next meeting have OCC do a little research on how much we've had now since the downturn.
That's a good plan.
Because we never had this problem much before. The whole oil field thing happened. So maybe some of the, largely the problem has gone away, and we can try to deal with the small problem that is in state and the seated people here in North Dakota. Yeah. So.
Is that a good. Mandan? Thanks.
And I can't, I'm speaking for myself on this, and I'll take right. that to the board, and I'm sure they'll probably agree with that too.
Very good. Okay. Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate the discussion. Okay, that's it for discussion matters. Anybody else have anything they need to discuss on the discussion? Then we can move to scheduling. Okay.
Start discussing our scheduling.
Yep, let's start discussion. Okay, so
thanks.
We've got, I'm just looking, do we want to add Brady Wind work session on the,
sure.
the Brady Wind 1?
Yep.
As a
I talk.
Item? I don't know what the, how the.
As of this morning, we didn't have anything.
Okay, and when does the time run out on that
I notice? Thought it ran out today.
Did it? Okay.
But the latest would be today. I thought it was the 6th.
And I'm told it was today. Later than the discussion was, but I don't remember the numbers. But it,
okay.
I think it's
it might be a couple days. But
what was...
Okay.
What are we waiting on, a deadline?
Brady Wind, we had that notice that went out saying we're considering this other evidence, and they people had an additional time to... comment. Okay, so we'll add that to this list here. We've got the transmission discussion, work session on Alliance. Oh, Jack, yep. And formal hearing, Plot Construction ND, Damage Prevention Enforcement. So, Sarah, you want to do that one first since it's first on the list?
Okay. The dates that are preferred are November 29th or December 1st.
Ooh, I like going out that far.
Why so far out? I'm not against it. I'm just curious.
Well, it has to do with avoiding the construction season. So the idea is that by postponing it until November, they won't be working at that point in time.
Okay. Well, November 29th, that works for me because we got a commission meeting the next day.
It works for me. It's wide open, although it seems like sometimes you know things come up right before a commission meeting. So I'm just going to say the 1st is open for me, too.
Yeah, me too.
I'm booked solid both those days. No kidding.
Good that we lay out.
Coming to the meeting on Wednesday?
I am. Okay, either one of those days works.
Okay, so let's do it on November 29th at 9 a.m.
Do you know that works for them for some reason? Because I'm hearing these guys say they'd rather do it the 1st because it's the day after the commission meeting?
Oh, we can do it the 1st.
Okay.
That's fine. Yeah.
All right.
Right
December 1st.
At 9 a.m.
9 a.m.?
Oh, you want 8:30? That's fine.
Works fine for me.
Okay, 8:30 right. a.m. on December 1st.
Okay.
Let's block the day.
Don't okay.
Just because if we get in early, then we always have time to do something
yeah,
else.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
But block if we don't, get, we don't find ourselves, we got a half hour left.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Jerry Lean, by the way, we heard lots of good comments about you and your cooperation with citizens who call the office and help them with wind farm questions and issues, and it's always two people at least mentioned it yesterday, so I wanted to pass that along. I certainly appreciate hearing from citizens who call and make a point to say, we talked to Jerry and he was really helpful. So thank you for that. You want to grab a mic, Jerry?
It is really nice.
Yeah.
Well, this is the one that we moved before to this date thinking it was good, and then Jerry and I went back and looked, and it was the same week MISO was having their meeting, right?
Yeah.
So we just picked a bad date when we rescheduled before. So we could move it out just to the next week, right, Jerry?
Sure, wherever you want to put it.
Yeah, I just thought of that next week then.
Oopsie, what am I doing here? Okay, September.
Well, could that be our informal, or do the same thing and put it on Thursday morning?
All the above. Maybe Thursday morning, just because we might need an informal for, like, stuff.
Thursdays are hard for me.
Oh, that's right, Jerry.
Thursday afternoon.
I'm not available Thursday afternoon.
Okay.
How about after our informal schedule? How long? I don't remember really what this was, this transition.
You know, just a couple of hours, I think. And if you wanted to do it instead of informal on that Wednesday.
Wednesday the 7th?
No, the 21st.
Oh, 21st, sorry.
Is that the day that the...
Yeah, let's do it.
Is it getting too late if we started at 2:30?
2:30 is probably late, but informal is at 1:30.
We so rarely use those.
Yeah. And I suppose if we had to, we could do an informal at...
Later.
Later, yeah.
3:30 or 4, too.
Yeah. Or usually the informal stuff is flexible enough, it could be at a different informal time, so...
I'm fine with that.
Okay. The 21st at 1:30.
And that's the Otter Tail XL MDU updates, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe call it that, or somehow in some place describe that, so when we see I got it. You don't need to. IOU, that should tell me. It's Otter Tail MDU XL transmission. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
How long, what kind of period did we schedule for that one on December 1st?
All day.
Damage prevention all day.
Okay, so Jack has been continuing to follow the FERC Alliance pipeline issue and has some stuff to share. And so we want to set up a time for a discussion on that. Right, Jack?
Yes,
and how soon?
I think probably about 2 weeks out would be a good period of time. I'm anticipating, actually I expected them already to have filed the draft stipulations for the settlement. It hasn't come in yet as of this morning when I checked. And
so after Mark? The week after Mark?
That would be ideal.
Let me ask this, Jack. Can we close that discussion? We're in litigation. It seems like we shouldn't be having to broadcast all of our thoughts when we're in litigation.
Up to this point, we haven't, and I'm not sure this is necessarily something we need to actually have closed for discussion, because at this point in time, we're not actually doing litigation. We're just doing we're filing comments if the commission so chooses to do that. After that, we'll actually probably become the litigation phase.
Well, you can close it before litigation, but we only intervened as our interest may appear. We haven't stated a position really yet, have we?
Not at this point in time.
Did you have an opportunity to check with the AG's office on this? Jack and I talked about this earlier, but we should get better information from the experts in the AG's office before deciding. Did you have an opportunity to do that to see if this qualifies or not?
I haven't recalled. I haven't spoken with them yet, but I didn't recall that discussion. But I will follow up with that.
That's my recommendation. Sure. But pre-litigation,
don't schedule anything yet?
You can schedule it, whether it's closed or open.
Okay.
And the reason I asked my comment, because I have definite thoughts on this, and I'd just as soon not disclose those publicly as we get into litigation, unless I have to. And if I do, then so be it. But
yeah.
Sure. Well, let's have to check. We've had it's a different type of case. It is not like, you know, civil litigation or even super controversial with us, federal agency litigation, and we've had several open meetings. So we have to see if that is already put us down one path or another.
Okay.
But we can certainly keep the time, and we will get better information and more information from the experts.
And this is an evolving thing. So 2 weeks from now, I mean, who knows where all the parties will be, and it might that might alone provide some pretty clear direction for what we do.
And the procedures could change, so maybe all parties will decide that they want to move it down the road a little farther in 2 weeks. We really won't have any update at that point in time.
So you'll figure out from the AG, we'll just block off a time, and then we'll make that decision. Okay. So somebody said they're gone. Are you gone the week after, Mark, Jack?
Earlier on in the week, I think through Wednesday, but and I'll be back on Thursday.
And I'll be back Friday. I don't have to come to this meeting, but.
So Thursday's the no-go?
Thursday would be the best.
Thursday would be the best for me, too. Friday, I'm out that morning.
Afternoon is wide open. I got stuff in the morning.
Which on Thursday,
the 23rd.
I'm available.
Okay, early afternoon?
Sure, whatever. I'm wide open in the afternoon.
You want to say 1, 1:30? Which?
Whatever.
Can we say 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock it is.
1 p.m. for number 3 on the 23rd. June 23rd. Gosh, I hate looking. I mean, June 23rd? It's like a third of the summer gone already. Yeah. Okay, then the Brady. We need a work session, Brady 1.
Well, let me ask this. I agree with the work session, but the last work session we left it is Jerry and I were put a draft together and float it around.
Oh, we might not need a work session.
I'm
fine with that approach.
That's kind of where, and what is the date? Because I thought it was the 6th, so I think for sure it's today.
I think our 10 days were up on the 6th, but I think we needed to give them another 3 days for...
It's from the date served, okay. Not the date issued, so I don't know when the mail went out, and then 3 days added. So okay, I don't have those dates.
It was served by email probably on Friday, and so that would make Monday
last
the 10th.
Friday?
The 27th.
27th.
So that would make Monday the 10th day.
And let me interrupt for 1 second. Weekends, days count? It's not just work days?
They count, but not if you land on one, then you go to the next work day. If it lands on Sunday, then you go to Monday.
So the notice period, I think if you give them this week, you should be plenty good on that with a little margin even in there.
So the 9th would be the last day. With a 10 days plus
that's
3.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
So, I think so.
Well, and Jerry and I are working on an order right now to staff around, so if you want to schedule something, we sure can. I'm hopeful maybe of both the 22nd.
Okay. I'm fine with that approach on that one, so I don't need another work session. Do you, Randy?
No.
On Brady 1?
No.
Okay. Then do we want to schedule now a work session on Brady 2?
Sure.
I think they were supposed to get their
June 22nd.
Comments in on 22nd.
Well, I'm open the 21st.
We could still look at the... Wait, what did we schedule on the 23rd?
23rd, we did the... I'm busy in the morning.
Alliance.
Oh, yeah. 21st would work the morning of the 21st.
I'm open all day.
10? Does that work for you, Randy?
Yep.
So let's see, that's Julie Prescott. So can you let her know, Jerry, for Brady 2?
What was the date?
June 21st at 10 a.m., and I guess she'll have to check with Zach and see if that works for him.
I'll double check with him, too, if you can help me.
And if not, we can do scheduling anytime.
Yeah, Brady 2. Brady 2 work session.
Pick a new date. I got
June
quite 21st a few open
a.m.
from that point on.
Okay.
So, Brian, I could have that Brady 1 order out quicker than that if you want.
Well, yeah, as soon as... why don't you and I go through it and we'll staff it out. That's fine.
Just in case there's any interest in a special meeting.
Yep.
Okay.
I think that's why the clock date is so important, because we could have a special meeting earlier if it comes through, but if it doesn't, if there's Thomas on June 9th, then that'll change the dynamics probably.
Okay, that's the last item. Anybody else? Sarah?
All these wind farms bring up a question. Should we schedule something on Oliver? They're going to send us the order potentially next week.
Very good. Yep. we should.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. Great idea.
So next week is going to be pretty tough, right? I mean, well.
No, next week is shut.
Yeah, the week.
The 21st is still open if after the Brady 2. We did Wind Farm Day.
Sure. Do Brady 2 and Oliver 3.
Okay.
You sound like pretentious English names. Brady the
Picking
second.
A time.
Oliver.
Setting a time.
What time did we say for Brady 2?
10.
So do you want to say 11?
Sure.
Do we want them back to back or do we want to break in there?
I'm kind of a back to backer, but.
Back to back.
We could do 9:30 and 11, so there's a little break.
It seems that, you know, there's enough similarities that it's kind of nice to be able to pull back and refresh and make sure we're not talking about one when it had to do with the other.
Mm-hmm. So do you mean like break them up by lunch or just?
Well, that was my original thought, but I think, you know, if you guys are booked up in the afternoon or something, even if we had a half hour, would help some.
I'm free all day.
I just really think that they should be split up. Although, if we only leave a half hour, then we probably won't get done with the first one.
Exactly.
We're pushing up against it.
Well, we could do 11. What time do we say 11? Or do we do 10?
Is it 10?
Well, do you want to do 11 and 1 then?
Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Brady 2 will be on June 21st at 11. And Oliver 3 will be June 21st at 1.
Sounds good. Good call, sir.
Okay. Very good. And I will see, we have a meeting at 1:30, 2:30, and 2:30, right?
And 3:30 for the market.
3:30 for you guys.
Do you guys have any?
I have my panel. Folks, I've had my pre-meeting with my panel.
Okay.
My tour is complicated.
Did you get your list to Stacy and drivers for the bus people?
Well, yeah, but here's the problem. The bus tour, because there's two buses, we really had to change things up, and they can't bring 80-some people to one site and drag 80-some people around together. So they're splitting it up into two groups, and they're going to go to one's going to go to this site, one's going to go to this site, and then they're going to switch. And we had to... Yeah, it was too many people to fit in one place for lunch, so we had to change that up. And now we're doing box lunches. I'm not sure where, but we're doing box lunches from Dickinson.
So
and then they're really worried that, you know, when you get 80 people to stop just to go to the bathroom, it takes an hour. So they're worried about that. So I'm just not going to worry about it. It'll happen. Okay. And I'm just like, however it happens. But it's going to be challenging.
All right. Stace, you tracking all this?
So they have addresses in general, but again, we'll give Harlow something so they quit nagging us.
Okay.
And there's going to have to be flexible enough that if the address changes because the well site isn't doing what we thought at that time, then we're going to have a slightly different one.
Okay. So how do we get it to Harlow's, the draft as it is now?
I believe, did Jerry get it to you?
Yeah, and I think I forwarded it to Bruce.
Okay.
Bruce is the one sending it.
Yeah, we got something yesterday from them, and I was hoping that, because I think Jerry was included, I was hoping it got around because I was not
I remember seeing something.
Okay.
All right. Branch, are you all set for Mark, telecom stuff and your coal tour?
Is that a meeting?
Yes, we're scheduling.
Yeah, all set.
Well, we can add things to our regular agenda without not having it be.
Yeah, but I didn't hear that, but that's fine. Now it's added.
I think we're pretty well set.
Okay.
I got some information to the bus people. And lunch is being taken care of and billed back to Stacy.
Okay.
One other question.
Not me personally.
About the Monday night. That's out at the
Fort Lincoln.
Fort Lincoln. Are you guys bringing your spouses and family? Like, what's the expectation there? Is that something we're supposed to do?
If Karen was in town, she'd be coming.
But okay.
You guys are welcome to bring folks. But
and
the expectation
Randy has his wife registered as a guest.
Yeah, the expectation is to register him as a
guest.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But if you want to bring your people, we'll just let us know and we can add them in. Tell Jerry to add them in.
Are others bringing their kids?
I don't think we have any kids really signed up, to the truth.
All right, then I think I'll skip that.
Yeah, spouses, though, several spouses.
There was a couple that looked like families, because there was like four people with the same last name registered as guests, but there was not very many.
I think I'm just going to, I might come on Sunday, and we probably have baseball and stuff on Monday night anyway, so I think that that will be more challenging for us to swing.
I noticed more spouses than kids. There was quite a few spouses registered.
And if you guys end up driving yourself over there, it's fine, but you have to pay to get yourself in there.
Oh, otherwise you ride the bus.
Otherwise you ride the bus, so it's like $5. So.
Yeah, you have to pay the park entrance if you drive yourself. I think
like
it
me,
is,
I'm going to drive myself over
I think it's $5.
Well, it's on Monday night, so I'll be driving myself, too.
Well, you I probably will, too. What time does it start? Because the pink roast can't is that night.
That's, really? Yeah, yes. That's what I got to go to.
The library?
What time?
Oh, yeah, I think you can.
We have a commissioner meeting at 4. It starts at, what, 6?
I think we start eating at 6 out there. Yeah. The buses start at, like, 5. I don't know.
Okay.
What time does pink roast start?
I've got it down for 6.
I think it starts earlier than that.
They start cooking all day. You just whatever. It'll work
out.
I mean,
well,
you guys
will. I'm not going to eat at the Pink Roast. I'll just swing by and say hi at some point.
Fort Lincoln set up where they have, it's, you know, it'll be a lot of people won't even know if you're gone, quite honestly, because you're going to come in and eat, and then they got the guns set up and the soldiers set up, so we'll be wandering around. So.
Not a program at all that night?
No. Well, they'll be doing their demonstration.
Right,
but
they're doing demonstration. No.
And then at 7:15 on Sunday night, I'm going to introduce all the commissioners that are there, and Tony's getting a National Eagle Scout Award. On Sunday night.
Cool.
Yeah, so we got
that. Is it
a
surprise?
No, because we had to coordinate it with, because Dale Sandstrom coordinated it with Tony, so it's a good deal.
Awesome.
So that'll be fun.
Tony.
Do we get to shoot the rifles?
God, yes.
Such an Eagle
Monday
Scout,
night?
Isn't he? He's like the poster child for Eagle Scout.
They're going to be shooting the Gatling gun Monday night, but I don't think they will let you shoot it. But you can ask. Never know.
We'll bring them out.
Yeah, they've got baseball.
Okay.
Too much coordination.
And then Tuesday with the tours, and then 5 o'clock happy hour, then they got the diner on set up downtown.
Yeah.
Wednesday morning the session, that's it. At knock on wood.
Noonish Wednesday we're done?
11.
Okay. Whew. Hallelujah, right, Stacy?
And you got your Mark shirts and hats that are
left.
Hang
up, so it's not wrinkled.
When are we supposed to wear those?
Whatever you want. I'm wearing mine in the tour.
Yeah.
Because Monday night we gotta be dressed up. Or Sunday night for our pictures.
I'm just going like t-shirt and some like work shirt.
And you're out.
Baseball
we're going to pencil
and that
it in.
Picture, and that picture was at 7:30, was it?
8, I think.
If I'm there at 7:25, is that good?
If you're there at 5, that's good.
Is everybody making it? I heard we had one potential no-show.
Yeah.
Who's not playing?
Kevin.
Kev can't make her?
No. It's better than that because at least it's... We're going to be able to easily Photoshop him in. Dick Elkin just phoned up with a conflict.
Oh, dang. Seriously, what time is that? Because I'm now putting it in.
5 o'clock.
By the copper wall.
No, what time is it? You're telling me.
No, it really is 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Because I asked him that, too.
You're saying 5 when it's really 5:30, just
no.
So I'm there.
It's 5, and I met with Poppy Mills, greatest name in...
ever
Hollywood,
love it.
And we picked a spot where the sun is pretty neutral, whether it's cloudy or whatever, inside. And so she's confident that the next day when Elkin comes in, she's going to be able to really do a nice Photoshop. We won't even notice that he really wasn't.
Oh, good.
There.
I'm going to call Dick and give him some.
The other stuff happens when that night, that day. Is this in
that's
the middle
it.
Of things or
no?
Five,
it's 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, people start showing up at there from the for the Heritage Center.
So we took an hour to do this?
You know what will happen? Everybody's supposed to be there at 5. People will be there at 5:15. We'll dork around till 5:30. And then by 5:30, people will be showing up.
Yeah,
that's,
all right.
We're gonna want to visit. I mean...
The bar opens up at 5:30,
yeah.
So...
Okay. That's all's well.
Because otherwise, if we're not there...
Because I have to talk more than a half an hour to these people. I'm toast.
If we're not there before others start showing up, it's going to be hard to get it.
Yeah.
True.
Get
yes.
ourselves organized.
And then you guys will have to pick up your packet sometime or something, right?
Isn't
Sunday.
That, where's registration at? Down
at the
hotel?
Radisson.
Hotel?
Or you could have, we could grab them, I suppose. That's fine. Just the little details. But your drink tickets are in there, your name tags.
We could probably grab them here. You're putting them together here?
Nope. We're putting them together at the Convention and Visitors Bureau on Friday. But...
Yeah.
Is it too late to order...
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
We'll find them.
Is it too late to order different badge holders? I really liked the ones they had down at the Southeast.
Yes. It is too late. Sorry. Actually, the Convention and Visitors Bureau is giving them to us for free. So they bought them.
Wait till I show you the one I got.
Are you golfing with anybody on Sunday afternoon?
Sunday morning. We're set up for golf, but I think we have one signed up.
No, there's like five.
Who is there? We've got our Mark meeting at 3:30, so my plan is to golf. Does Mike want to golf?
One of them was you, and one of them is
Jack. You got to pay for yourself, but it would be fine.
Oh, yeah, and are you going out of Hawk Tree?
Yep.
Yeah.
We got several tee times.
So you can be cleaned up and have your hair cleaned and everything by five?
I'll be fine, ready. I got to pick up the Honorable Travis Cavoul at 2, so I'll be ready to pick up Trav.
I'm worried about you coming in with your hair all over.
He's always disheveled. That hair, such a problem.
Did you see that motorcycle?
You know what? Actually, Poppy Mills is the second best name. The first best name?
Last yesterday.
Cold Brew.
There's a guy yesterday. That was his name, Cold
Brew. Cold Brew.
Really?
He testified at the hearing. We were like...
Are we still broadcasting?
We are. You haven't closed your meeting yet. Oh, my gosh. We are. Oops. All right. Okay. I guess that good. That makes me feel better having talked through all of the Mark stuff.
Closing. You have to close your meeting. We would want to close it on the record.
Okay, our meeting is adjourned.